is Davin's Den. Is Davin's Den.
All right, we're back. So, last time we did kind of like a pretty in-depth thing about tech. So this is kind of along those lines. Well, because there's a lot that's going on with this whole Russia hacking thing.
Yeah.
That a lot of, I don't know if everybody knows about, because it just keeps coming. So yeah. I wanted to kind of go through it and kind of put it in a timeline so let people know what's going on. I guess they can make their own decisions about, you know, what they think we're doing or could be doing or are not doing, and what Russia did, or what some 400-pound guy in on a bed in New Jersey did. You know, whatever the case may be.
I don't want to talk about that date anymore. Stop bringing it up.
Said guy.
Yeah, I know.
Sweetie, don't sell yourself short. Not with arms like that.
No, 400-pound guy.
Pip got groped at a club again.
Yeah, my upper arm.
Don't worry, I fixed it. I set it straight.
You were groped by the bouncer?
No.
No, that's not groped. That's being asked to fucking leave, stupid.
But if your form's fucked
I
up, it's the same thing.
I fixed their relationship. They're fine. There were issues. It's what I do. It's a service I provide.
There was marriage counseling. You should have been here earlier.
Yeah, you get here on time, you learn some shit. You always miss the good shit, Joe. All right, so...
Sorry, I like sitting in a rainstorm better on a fucking...
Well, your story from earlier kind of said you do.
Yeah.
It's kind of your thing. All right. Let's see. May 16th, 2018. The White House eliminated the position of cybersecurity coordinator. A National Security Council official confirmed to CBS News on Tuesday. The position was left open when Rob Joyce, President Trump's first coordinator, announced last month he was leaving the White House to return to the National Security Agency. Today's actions continue an effort to empower National Security Council. Senior Director's Council spokesman Robert Palladino said in a statement, according to Reuters, streamlining management will improve efficiency, reduce bureaucracy, and increase accountability. When Joyce first announced his departure last month, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders said Joyce would stay on as needed to provide continuity and facilitate the transition with his replacement. According to Reuters, the White House has seen a raft of departures since NSA advisor John Bolton began in his role in April. They just don't like his mustache. Nobody likes to work with a walrus.
Not even Paul.
Cuckoo-ka-choo. Former Homeland Security Advisor Tom Bosser, Joyce's boss, oversaw the cybersecurity program and was pushed out of the White House on Bolton's second day on the job.
Come on.
He gets right to it.
Come on.
If you won't stroke my mustache, you have to go. Good day, sir.
Come on.
Good job. What's Ari?
Fucking John Bolton. Fucking like Michael Bolton.
He looks like my buddy Frank.
Your buddy Frank is ugly.
Oh, damn.
Frank was here. Fuck you, motherfucker.
Well, listen, he told me he looks like John Bolton. What do you want me to go with?
Nice.
Frank should be angry at Joe, not me.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, exactly.
You will have words.
Exactly. Frank's, Joe's the one who sold Frank.
Frank, why you tell me I look like John Bolton? Yeah, that's what he was saying.
He should just shave. Give him some shave club. Detractors say the role was important symbolically, though, and perhaps structurally as well. Democratic Senator Mark Warner of Virginia said the coordinator was the only person in the federal government tasked with delivering a coordinated whole-of-government response to the growing cyber threats facing our nation. Who fucking needs that? The position was created by President Obama in 2009. Also on Tuesday, the Department of Homeland Security unveiled a strategy to guide a response to cybersecurity threats. According to a statement, the intent is for this strategy to enable the harmonization and prioritization of DHS planning, programming, budgeting, and operational activities all across DHS cybersecurity mission areas. It will focus on coordinating departmental cybersecurity activities to ensure unity of effort. The cyber threat landscape is shifting in real time, and we've reached a historic turning point, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen said in a statement. Digital security is now converging with personal and physical security, and it is clear that our cyber adversaries can now threaten the very fabric of our republic itself. I don't think it's great that they eliminated this position.
I think it's insane.
Okay.
It sounds like they're trying to streamline everything.
But this is what that guy did.
That's what he's supposed to do.
This is the guy who went with all the agencies and came up with the plan and presented a strategy so how we could all work together. Not you and I, because that will never happen. But like the Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah. Like he left, like he heard the show. I can't, there's nothing we can do. They're going to fight till the very end.
So
Two old fucks and the old person. Fuck you, motherfucker. I can't follow you on that. You can't. That's stupid.
Working on your own show, pilot, are you?
The voices in his head are go pilots.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense. One of the problems that we've been having, and one of the things that we found before 9/11 was that the different security agencies were not... Because they have these, you know...
They weren't communicating well with each other.
These tough guy rivalries. They're like, well, we don't want to show them all our cards, and we don't want to show... That's exactly what they had to do.
Right.
And so this was the person that was going to knit all the, the intelligence community together, and they took that away?
I kind of think...
That's a retrogressive...
I think it's because it was a position created by Obama, and we know how much Trump, like...
Likes to erase everything that he ever did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so, too. But it's ridiculous. It's really dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, considering we know what the threat is.
Yes.
I mean, it would seem that this guy you should have somebody very proficient in this position, not eliminate the position. But we've seen that with this administration. You know, the State Department of State doesn't have people anymore. They're understaffed. They haven't staffed up. They're not really staffing up. It's not really that type of...
They're taking things apart.
Exactly.
And not replacing what they used to facilitate.
Right. So you and I are against it, and what are you?
We have to find out how it works.
I don't want to find out in a bad way, Joe.
But the goal of it was that they feel that streamlining the management positions will improve the efficiency, reduce bureaucracy, and increase accountability.
But this was the guy who did that. That was his job. You eliminated the guy whose job was to do what you just said.
Maybe he felt that the way his system was in place, it was not going to work efficiently.
Then you fire him and get him a new guy. Yeah, you don't get rid of the position. You get somebody in you want
that knows what they're doing.
But they might have brought it down to different management levels, which will be instead of having it, you know, maybe different management levels working up to that instead of having one person that might. Block it or wait on them to make an answer if you have different managers under that.
I understand none of that. Pip?
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Okay.
No, what I'm saying is this, is instead of he might have been creating a bottleneck, you know, it's saying what his position was, but if he felt that having other management positions under that or people working in different capacities under that, it might be streamlining that instead of having one person for it to go through. Where the checks and balances, you know, where you have, if you have one certain person that everything has to go through them, it might delay time working on something. But if you have other people in different capacities.
But that's how you know when shit goes wrong, you know who to fucking go after. What the fuck did you do?
Well, not even that.
That's why you're in charge of clips. I could have a bunch of people doing clips. But by just having you do the clips, when shit goes wrong, I know who to yell at. If I had you do some clips and Pip do some clips and I do some clips, I don't know who to yell at. Then I'm just yelling at everybody. See, it's much more streamlined this way.
Well, we'll see how this works out.
All right. Let's see. June 21st, 2018. All three state election officials on a panel before the Senate Rules Committee Wednesday told lawmakers that they would gladly accept more financial assistance from the federal government for election security. While our upgrades to equipment and cybersecurity will be an ongoing challenge for many states, the federal funding received will regrettably be insufficient to do all that we are or want or need, said Jim Condos, Vermont's Secretary of State. However, we are very grateful for the boost that these federal funds provide us at the time. Steve Simon, Minnesota's Secretary of State, also said that his state plans to use all of the $6.6 million afforded to it in the bill, but that he needs more support and ongoing efforts. I would respectfully request that those in Congress consider some ongoing way to provide some resources for us along those same lines. And while we don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth, because it's got bad breath, and we are very grateful, and I know I am, this is expensive, Simon said. Daddy, all right, everybody touch your head, Simon said. If you
touch your wallet.
Touch your wallet.
This is expensive.
Put it back, Simon didn't say. If you send it, we will use it. Said Jay Ashcroft, Missouri's Secretary of State. Additional funding could go toward hiring IT staff, implementing new cybersecurity measures, and running post-election audits, the officials at the Rules Committee said. All right. July 14, 2018. Director of National Intelligence, Liberal Dan Coats. He's not. He's very conservative. Raised the alarm on growing cyber attack threats against the United States, saying the situation is at a critical point and coming out forcefully against Russia. The warning signs are there. The system is blinking. You know what he needs? Fonzie.
Yeah, you should just bang it.
Just bang it like a jukebox. It'll be fine.
And the song will play perfectly.
Exactly. The system is blinking. It is why I believe we are at a critical point, Coates said, addressing the Hudson Institute in Washington, D.C. Today, the digital infrastructure that serves this country is literally under attack. Coates compared the warning signs to those the United States faced ahead of the September 11th terrorist attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Coates said the worst offenders are Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. All our pals.
Roll call.
With Russia the most aggressive foreign actor, no question. And they continue their efforts to undermine our democracy. No!
Oh, they wouldn't do that.
Not our pal.
No.
Not Vladdy Daddy, who likes the potty. Every day, those countries are penetrating. Ooh, go on. Go on, Coates.
They're penetrating every day.
Our digital infrastructure.
Oh,
Whoa. Wow,
every way.
I feel like I should put on sexy music for this.
I think so.
And conducting range of cyber intrusions and attacks against targets in the U.S. Some of their targets include the federal government, the U.S. military, state and local governments, and U.S. businesses. Coates' comments came the same day that the Justice Department announced the indictment of 12 Russian military intelligence agents, accusing them of engaging in a sustained effort to hack Democrats. Yeah, they were all doing the arms. Emails and computer networks during the 2016 election. Got to mix in some comedy. This is rather dry shit.
Yeah.
Coates referred to the indictments and alluded to upcoming election threats, but said focusing on the potential impact of these actions on our midterm elections misses the more important point. These actions are persistent. Stop it. They're pervasive, and they are meant to undermine America's democracy on a daily basis, regardless of whether it is election time or not. Russia actors and others are exploring vulnerabilities in our critical infrastructure as well. Coates added, what's serious about the Russians is their intent. They have capabilities, but it's their intent to undermine our basic values, undermine democracy, create wedges between us and our allies. So far, he said the United States is not yet seeing the kind of electoral interference in specific states in voter databases that we experienced in 2016 by the Kremlin. However, we fully realize that these are just one click of the keyboard away from a similar situation repeating itself. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen, like other officials in her department, made a similar assessment that Russia has not yet targeted the 2018 midterm elections with a scale or scope of their influence campaign in the 2016 presidential election. But Nielsen noted during a conference in Philadelphia that the intelligence community has observed persistent Russian efforts using social media. Coates said Friday that our intelligence officials have seen aggressive attempts to manipulate social media to spread propaganda focused on hot-button issues that are intended to exacerbate social political divisions. After hearing Dan Coates... I wrote a question. So...
And Dan Coates said, question co-hosts here. Oh,
yeah.
You didn't write that.
Oh, yeah,
all
right.
No, that's for me.
That.
So this is what... Dan Coates is a serious man.
Yeah.
You don't want him at a gig. He's not going to laugh.
Sit there like Jeff Dunham's Walter staring at y'all pussy.
What's with this? Oh, it's Jeff Coates. Okay, all right, that's cool. I'll set to table three.
I'm sure you're persistent hacking.
No, this is a serious guy. This isn't a fucking chucklehead.
No.
This isn't a clown.
No.
Meanwhile, Bozo said that we need to look at...
He's still talking about hanging
He
chairs.
Was dismissed because Bozo is a clown.
Can we all agree? I want to say, can we all agree America was attacked?
Yes.
I say yes. Joe?
Yeah.
Can we all agree they're still attacking us?
Yes, I believe
so.
Yeah.
Okay, good. We'll see how long the agreement continues. But there, so far, we all agree shit's going on.
Yeah. Right. The debate would be on the severity.
Huh.
Okay. How do you mean that?
We'll let that lay for a little while.
Okay.
We'll proceed. I don't think it was just a pal giving us a friendly little goose. Hey, I'm over here, pal. No, I don't think that's what was going on.
He actually goosed him.
Yeah, I most certainly did. July 17th, 2018. Trump and Putin meet in Helsinki.
Oh, boy.
Trump includes none of his security personnel, nor Secretary of State Pompeo. By the way, Coates is still saying he doesn't fucking know what happened there.
Yeah.
He's still saying that. During the post-meeting press conference, Trump states that Vladimir Putin strongly and forcefully denies interference. He says he does not see a reason why Russia would interfere. He receives much criticism and later claimed he meant would interfere. Putin was directly asked if he wanted Trump to win the election and if he had operatives try and help Trump. Putin said, yes, I did. Now I'll actually go through what they actually said. That was the fucking summary of what happened.
Right.
But I'll go through it. Yes, I will.
Yes, he did.
So Putin says, once again, President Trump mentioned the issue of so-called interference of Russia in the America election. So-called. Oh, is he fucking Ann Jackson?
I know. It's so-called interference.
You didn't have so-called on
I
the
know.
List.
Oh, damn it.
Mr. Putin!
Idiot Melvin Santos is going
in. Idiot Melvin Santos says there's no interference. we amuse us.
Fucking liar John Coates.
Yeah, Dan Coates.
Dan Coates,
sorry. Fucking liar Dan Coates. Once again, President Trump mentioned the issue of so-called interference of Russia in the American elections. I had to reiterate things I said several times. I've said it. Including during our personal contacts, that the Russian state has never interfered and is not going to interfere into internal American affairs. It's not the way they roll,
please,
kids. Including the election process. Any specific material, if such things arise, we are ready to analyze together. Sure, yeah. Al-Qaeda was going to give us the flight plan by 9/11 if Bush just would have fucking reached out.
Of course.
For instance, we can analyze them through the Joint Working Group on Cybersecurity, the establishment which we discussed during our previous contacts.
Yes, yes. Please give us all of your cybersecurity knowledge. And
how did
we
fuck
help
up?
You,
I mean,
analyze.
What have you seen?
Yes. Tell me more about how you analyze the hacking.
So Trump gets asked about his U.S. tweet on U.S.-Russia relations. Reporter Jeff Mason from Reuters. Thank you, Mr. President. You tweeted this morning that it's U.S. foolishness, stupidity, and the Mueller probe that is responsible for a decline in U.S. relations with Russia. Do you hold Russia at all accountable for anything in particular? If so, what would you consider them that they are responsible for? Trump. Yes, I do. I hold both countries responsible. I hold both countries responsibility. All right, this is fucking word for word. This is what he fucking said. Don't blame me for his lack of English. I think the United States has been foolish, silly gooses. I think we've all been foolish. We should have had the dialogue a long time ago. Hey, knock it off! A long time, frankly, before I got to office. I think we're all to blame. I think the United States now has stepped forward along with Russia. We're getting together and we have a chance to do some great things. Whether it's nuclear proliferation in terms of stopping, we have to do it, ultimately. That's probably the most important thing we can do, working on. I do feel that we have both made some mistakes. I think that the probe is a disaster for our country. I think it's kept us apart. It's kept us separated. There was no collusion at all. No collusion. Everybody knows it. Not really. People are being brought out to the fore. You know, I'll give him props for that. Because he's answering a question. That's not a phrase that you would expect current President Trump to use. Turned out to the fore.
Yes.
That's like 90s version of Trump, you know, when he could fucking actually speak and sound literate. Good for him. Good for the president. I mean, I feel bad that he slipped into fucking coherency, but, you know.
It's a little scary.
So far that I know, virtually none of it related to the campaign. They will have to try really hard to find something that did relate to the campaign. That was a clean campaign. I beat Hillary Clinton like a drum. No, I beat Hillary Clinton easily. And frankly, we beat her. And I'm not even saying from the standpoint. We won that race. It's a shame that there could be a cloud over. People know that. People understand it. The main thing, and we discussed this also, is zero collusion. It has had a negative impact upon the relationship of the two largest nuclear powers in the world. We have 90% of the nuclear power between the two countries. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous what's going on with the probe. Not really the question he was asked.
No. Hmm. And what does that have to do with nuclear proliferation? Oh, my God.
It's hard to speak.
Yeah.
I understand.
Like lots of bombs.
Big bombs. Big bombs. Here,
big ones, lots of them.
Back home, huh? Talking is hard.
Yeah, pretty much.
Davin's Den. Talking is hard.
Talking is hard.
That's our new slogan.
Reporter Jeff Mason. For President Putin, if I could follow up as well, why should Americans and why should President Trump believe your statement that Russia did not intervene in the 2016 election, given the evidence that U.S. intelligence agencies have provided? Will you consider extraditing the 12 Russian officials that were indicted last week by a U.S. grand jury? Trump. Well, I'm going to let the president answer the second part of that question. As you know, the concept of that came up perhaps a little before, but it came out as a reason why the Democrats lost an election, which, frankly, they should have been able to win. Because I suck. No, he didn't say that. That'd be funny.
That'd be funny.
Because the Electoral College is much more advantageous for Democrats. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
No. A general population is... Yeah, they've lost two in the last 16 years with this shit.
That's true.
Facts. They're tricky. As you know, then, it is to Republicans. We won the Electoral College by a lot, 306 to 223. Scoreboard, motherfucker! I believe that was a very well-fought battle. We did a great job. Frankly, what's he got to do with this? I'm going to let the president speak to the second part of your question. But just to say it again one more time, and I say it all the time, there was no collusion. All the fucking time. I didn't know the president. There was nobody to colluded with. There was no collusion with the campaign. Every time you hear of all these 12 and 14, it's stuff that has nothing to do. And frankly, they admit these are not people involved in the campaign. Well, But to the average reader out there, they are saying, well, maybe that does. It doesn't. Even the people involved, some perhaps told missed stories. In one case, the FBI said there was no lie. There was no lie. Somebody else said there was. We ran a brilliant campaign.
Mr. Davin.
What do I got?
What is it? 8:30 and 9:30?
Listen, man, I'm
not fussy, but you know.
I got to get through this shit.
No,
there's a lot here. It's not my fault he fucking changed his track. This could have been very succinct.
It could have been.
We ran a brilliant campaign, if I do say so myself. And that's why I'm president. Thank you. Putin suggests having Mueller's team work with Russians to investigate. He suggests letting Russia question former diplomats and other Americans. Trump liked the idea. Upon coming home, the Senate and State Department said, no, absolutely not. thank you, no.
I can imagine.
So reporter Jeff Mason continues, President Putin, did you want President Trump to win the election, and did you direct any of your officials to help him do that? Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Wow.
And later, a week later, Trump's at a fucking campaign rally. You know, the Russians didn't want me to win. That's what he fucking said. That's what he said.
It's like,
pay no attention to that small man standing next to me.
I'm sorry, with the magnificent chest and shirtless.
He should be baby oiled. All right. I think this is another instance of the president conflating Russian attacks with claims that they helped him win. He can't fucking separate.
No.
And it's going to be his downfall.
Yeah, he doesn't. It's almost like he doesn't get it.
Yeah, he knows what he did.
Yeah.
he knows the walls are caving in. But you shouldn't fucking make it so clear to everybody else. You should go along and go, yeah, I mean, if you're fucking smart, you go, yeah, we got to find this out.
Here's the problem.
And then when they find out, it's you, act surprised like everybody else. And then you could, how did it, oh my word, no, I doth protest, I don't think so. Then you act surprised. But I was helping you. I gave you everything. I said the Russians were bad. But when he does this, we go, nah. Joe?
We got to see how everything plays out.
Right, I'll take that from you.
Yeah.
I'll take from a Trump supporter. That's fucking a lot, by the way.
That is.
So I'll take that from you.
Well, you get the investigation's out there, and we'll see how it works out.
The vast majority of Trump supporters, and actually Republicans at this point, which are the vast majority of Trump supporters, thinks that this should end.
Yeah, that the Mueller probe it should be done.
It's a hoax, I tell you. It's a witch hunt.
How dare you attack?
Well,
him?
It just goes on and on, you know.
But that's the
on
way this shit goes.
Yeah.
You know, Julie Love wasn't done in a day. This shit goes on. Mm-hmm. You know, dealing with Ann Jackson didn't happen in a fortnight. Mm-hmm. Shit takes a while. You know, you got to sift through a lens. And Trump keeps on adding to it because he keeps on tweeting stupid shit. that Mueller goes, really?
Well, yeah,
that's an interesting angle.
Nobody's taking the phone for him. Yeah. This is what you guys like. You like him. A president who tells it like it is in the moment, on the toilet, tells it like it is. He'd be better off hanging out with the fucking Charmin bears.
You know what? They keep, they don't have loose lips. Charmin Bear.
Seriously, like somebody should, you know, Trump, you know, Donald, you know, be nice. Why don't you tweet a little kitty cat? Fucking do that. Yeah. You could still tweet. Go, I like kittens. That would be much better, you fucking maniac.
I know. It's like, stop. You're digging. No, actually, don't stop. You're digging your own hole.
What do you think of Putin saying he wanted Trump to win?
I don't really know.
Well, I mean, because Putin is a liar.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying that, because I think it would be more advantageous to him if Hillary won.
No, he hated Hillary.
No, I don't think so.
No, and we've seen all the evidence that we have seen so far, they were hacking Hillary.
Yeah.
They didn't hack the Donald. And we've seen, say what you want about this administration, I don't think high tech and buttoned up when I think of this administration.
No.
So if you could get into Hillary's stupid server, I'm pretty sure you could hack Donald's bullshit going on.
Yeah.
Not that he uses email, but everybody else around him does.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, they wanted, now, you know, we'll figure out why.
I mean, obviously, you got to take everything that Putin says with a grain of salt.
But the problem for a lot of us, maybe not you, but for a lot of us is, and I agree with that, you do. But you also, unfortunately, I don't trust this president because he fucking lies constantly.
Yeah.
And he changes mid-lie, you know.
Yeah.
He's not even a good lawyer. That's what pisses me off
about
him.
He's a salesman. He's a salesman.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
That's
he's
what
a
I've been
salesman.
Saying. Yes, he is.
Yes, he's a salesman.
Or a con man. Yes, he is.
I don't think he's a con man. I think he's a salesman.
Do.
He's
right.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah.
How bad off is the country since he's
That's a different
over?
Conversation. Well, I mean, we could get into That's not the conversation we're
you
having
know,
right
I elected him to run the country. I didn't elect him to be a Boy Scout. You
no,
know?
But you didn't elect somebody to collude with the fucking enemy. You didn't want that. If I told you Hillary Clinton was fucking palling around with Putin and that they fucking helped her win, you'd be fucking livid. And the difference between you and me is I'd be fucking livid too. I'd be pissed off. That's some fucking bullshit. She needs to go to jail. She doesn't deserve it. Give it to fucking Trump. That's what I would say.
Yeah. It's like there's absolutely no way that we can have them, you know, tampering with our democracy.
Right, that's our job. We tamper with other democracies.
Yeah.
Ask Iran.
Yeah, ask Iran.
That really worked out well for us.
Oh, yeah, sure it did.
We're like the worst fucking Scooby-Doos. We fucking meddle, but it doesn't work out for us.
Yeah, and it's like we make it so transparent.
We like rip the mask off, and it's a fucking ghost, and the ghost eats us and go, fuck!
That makes should make Air Force One look like the Magical Mystery Machine.
They should.
Gee, Scoob, we didn't get any weapons back.
but because, be Velma.
But because we do it, too, does not make me happy when other people do does. But that's what I hear from someone on the right. Well, we do it all the time. I know it sucks, but we're fucking America, goddamn.
You crack me up. All these things that you said on morality, and this is not who we are and stuff.
No,
like
I know
that.
No. I know exactly who the fuck we are. I wrote a whole blog about it. I wrote a whole thing about who we are. I know we do some bad shit.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't want bad shit done to us. I mean, I don't support us doing bad shit, but I don't want bad shit done to us.
Right.
And if bad shit is done to us, we're still the most powerful country in the world. I don't want to go, well, he apologized very strongly. Fuck you, motherfucker. Knock you out, you motherfucking cosmonaut. That's what I want. But anyway, we'll continue.
There've been problems on a space station?
I was walking back to you. It's like Captain Kirk hitching a ride with the clouds.
Yeah, that's the thing, because it's like when the shuttle program ends, it's like, well, how do we get to the... We'll hitch a ride with the... No, that's like Kirk hitching a ride with the Klingons.
Yes, that was classic Curry, when he hated the Russians.
When I hated the Russians, like me and Putin are having dinner Thursday.
But a lot on your team, they show this. Putin's more popular than Democrats now. Right. I'm not saying you personally, because I don't know where you are on it. But a lot of Trump supporters are quite fond of Putin now.
Which is this guy's ex KGB.
Right. So and the reason why you don't know where I am on it, I'm just feeling you know. Feeling this guy out, you know what I'm saying?
Which one are you feeling out? Who are you feeling out?
Putin. I don't trust him as far as I can throw him.
He's got a body of work. I think you should know what he is.
I understand. That. Understand. Knowing that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Dr. Melvin Santos. We kind of know who he is at this point.
Yeah.
You know, of course he's going to sit there at a press conference and lie. He kills people. He doesn't give a shit. You know.
Yeah.
Now tell this to your president. Let the president know that he's a liar and kills people. And maybe he shouldn't go into a meeting all by himself with some Trump steaks. You know, just a fucking idea.
Yeah. Oh my god!
Stupid. Anyway, not you. Anyway, all right. So we all think Russia interfered.
Yeah.
Does Trump think Russia interfered?
He doesn't seem to.
I think he does.
So then he's lying to us.
I think he's putting on a bold face. Maybe, yeah.
Bold empowers brave. This isn't brave, Joe. So he's flat out lying. This is a big fucking deal. This is national security.
I think that the whole reason that he, and I'm being the devil's advocate.
Well, sure,
here.
You're advocating for the president.
All right. But my whole thing is this: that it just seems that Hillary ran such a campaign that was dishonest to her own party, where she, you know, she railroaded Bernie Sanders.
But that's a separate argument.
No, it's no. Hear me out, please. Where it's you know, she railroaded Bernie Sanders. She was getting questions fed to her. She didn't campaign in certain areas where she should have because she thought she was going to be a shoo-in. I think Trump, in his mind, feels that maybe he did, but so Hillary had so much to do with it for her own demise that Russians even interfering, it was so inconsequential to him winning.
So
you know what I'm saying?
Are you saying that she shot herself in the foot so badly that their meddling
even though the,
wasn't
the,
as bad as what she did to
but
herself?
But that's actually an argument. Right. That's actually the argument if the president had more of a brain than half a pea could fucking make. And people on both sides would go, all right, well, you know, he's got a point there. Let's see where this Russia thing goes. But, you know, Hillary did fuck up and she did get fed some shit. That was some bullshit, too.
Yeah.
And you know what? She should have gone to Michigan and Wisconsin. You go, well, people, all right, fine. That's much different than go, Russia didn't interfere, no collusion, and constantly changing your story.
Right.
Even you're changing your story on this shit. I'm glad you are, now that more evidence is coming out.
Well, how could you not? You
ask the president. I don't know how you could not.
You know, we just see how, if I mean, there's every day there's...
So you want the Mueller investigation to conclude? I think we'd all like it to go quicker, but you want to see it.
I want to see it go quicker.
Right.
I want to see it go quicker.
But they're not going to do it on our timetable. I mean, Benghazi went on for fucking 3 years, and they got nothing but a report out of it. This guy's getting indictments left and right. He's actually moving pretty quickly. They don't go on, investigations don't go on our timeline, and they keep on finding more shit. And that's why...
Because, like I said, with the Mueller investigation, I would like it to conclude, because if it does not conclude, this is going to go on for, you know, the whole allegations are going to go on forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's get it done. Let's get it out
of
the open.
Well, that's why, once again, Bannon said firing Mueller was the... firing Comey was the stupidest thing you could do.
Yeah.
Because once you bring in the special investigator, whenever they find a crime, you don't ignore crimes. You just find every fucking crime.
Yeah,
that's why Trump likes to think he's got the biggest brain. He should have listened to Bannon. But anyway, we'll go on. July 19th, House Republicans on Thursday voted down a Democratic effort to increase election security spending as Democrats accused the GOP of refusing to stand up to Russia over interference in U.S. elections. In a vote along party lines, Republicans rejected Democrats' motion for more funding. Unmoved by Democrats, vigorous pleas and chants of USA, USA on the House floor came out to where Rocky Balboa came down and knocked out a Russian right in the House. Such fucking showmanship. The Federal Election Assistance Commission that administers the election security grant program to states currently has only two of four commissioners, not enough to form a quorum and approve new voluntary voting system guidelines against which voting systems can be tested to determine if they meet required standards. The bulk of the $3.6 billion authorized under the Help America Vote Act, which was passed in the wake of the contested 2000 presidential election, was sent to states well over a decade ago to upgrade voting systems. In many cases, those systems now need new upgrades. It's fucking 18 years ago. July 20th, 21 state attorney generals sent congressional leaders a letter saying additional funds was desperately needed in order to prevent the type of targeted hacking that was seen in the run-up to the 2016 presidential election. The Center for American Progress estimated that a minimum of $1.25 billion would be needed over the next 10 years to properly secure the systems in the 55 eligible states and territories. July 27, 2018, Missouri Democratic Senator Claire McCaskill, who's running for re-election in a very close race, said Thursday that Russians unsuccessfully attempted to hack her Senate computer network. McCaskill's acknowledgement was in response to a report from the Daily Beast. There was a phishing attempt against her office last year, mirroring the tactics used successfully against John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman in the 2000. What?
The Daily Beast. It's like, could you see, like, the Beast? It's like, excuse me, you have to turn one of your four heads towards the camera when you read the story.
The Daily Beast.
which just pick which head, because the cameraman's having a problem. Which one of your four heads is going to tell the story so we can just focus?
No, I'm sorry. They're not four heads. Today we're dealing with Cerberus. Only three.
Okay. Well, which one of the three?
I think that is the tone you would take when dealing with a beast on a daily basis.
You want to fuck with him? No.
Yeah.
Very subservient.
Excuse me, Mr. Beast. why don't you? Wait, you're the camera. Why don't you? Fuck you. He burnt my car last night with his flames.
I think you hit the right tone. You're right. Thursday's reports that hackers sent forged emails to targets in the Senate with malicious links, you meanie, as part of an effort that Microsoft picked up. It said there was nothing to suggest the hacking attempt was successful. At the Aspen Security Forum last week, Microsoft Corporate Vice President for Customer Security and Trust, Tom Burt, hey Burt, said Russia had attempted to hack into the online accounts of staffers on three congressional campaigns ahead of the midterm election this year. The allegation from Microsoft, in addition, the Daily Beast report marked the first major public accusations of attempted interference by Russia in the 2018 elections. July 27, 2018. This week, the Department of Homeland Security reported that over the last year, Russia's military intelligence agency had infiltrated the control rooms of power plants across the United States. In theory, that could enable to take control of parts of the grid by remote control. While the department cited hundreds of victims of the attacks, far more than they had previously acknowledged, there is no evidence that the hackers tried to overtake the plants as Russian actors did in the Ukraine in 2015 and 2016. I don't know about you, but this fucking scares me.
That's terrifying. That they have these, like, what are they? I don't remember the term that they use, but they're sort of like, they're malicious malware that just sits there in the system waiting. Now, think about this. I mean, I don't think that this is something that's going to happen in the next couple of moments, but say that...
Well, if we have a tech issue, it is.
But say...
God, I believe Russia's working on this show.
Yeah, really. Say that the Russians...
No, not at all.
Say that the Russians...
I like the Devins, then.
Enough with this, you know, like, cyber hacking and everything. Say that we're just going to all-out attack the United States. And the first thing we're going to do is, one, two, three, shut down their power grid. We'd be sitting ducks.
Well, what was it, like 15 years ago we had that power failure on the East Coast?
Yeah, and it's just like monumentally humbling to be that vulnerable.
Yeah, I mean, I took out my junk because nobody was, you know, couldn't see it.
But. Yeah, but you think about the power grid, that also includes nuclear reactors.
Yes, it does.
You know, I mean, this is a terrifying.
She remained unfazed from her point. Good for you, Pip.
Thank you.
Talked about my junk. You didn't give a shit.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to get a nuclear reactor. It's not, you know, your warhead.
But you know what? This brings up what Obama wanted to do and what Trump said he wanted to do with the infrastructure. We need to upgrade this shit.
Absolutely.
And you know, and Mitch McConnell won't fucking hear of it.
Well, think about, you know, we're saying that we have to upgrade the election machines. Think about this kind of software or what kind of, you know, laptop, anything that you use on a daily basis. Think about how antiquated whatever you used 18 years ago would be compared to the laptop and the software or whatever. You know, like, Microsoft keep coming up with upgrades that whether we like them or not, you know, every couple of years. 18 years ago? That's too antiquated to keep up, especially when you have, you know.
No, but the infrastructure is longer than 18 years.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying, is that if your infrastructure is inferior, you can't possibly keep up with the technology. And then if you're not keeping up with the technology and you have hackers that are, you are incredibly vulnerable.
Facebook has removed a network of suspected Russian-linked accounts and pages involved in organizing political events in the United States. The network is the most extensive effort to interfere in American politics that Facebook has found and made public ahead of November's midterm elections. In briefings on Capitol Hill, Facebook has told lawmakers that it suspects a Russian group is behind more than 30 pages advocating U.S. political stances, according to a congressional source briefed on the matter. One page promoted a No Unite the Right 2 march, a counter-demonstration to a planned Unite the Right event to coincide with the one-year anniversary of Charlottesville. There was also an effort to amplify the Abolish ICE message pushed by liberals. Nathaniel Gleischer, head of cybersecurity policy at Facebook, said in a post that the company was still investigating where the pages were run from, but that some of the activity is consistent with what we saw from the IRA, the Internet Research thing. That was their thing.
The Irish Republican Army? What are they doing?
The IRA. Where you make money? No, it's the Internet Research Agency. So it's the same thing they saw in 2016. Let's see. Anyway, he cautioned there are differences, too. For example, while IP addresses are easy to spoof, the IRA accounts we disabled last year sometimes used Russian IP addresses. We haven't seen those here. It's clear that whoever set up these accounts went to much greater lengths to obscure their true identities that the Russian-based Internet Research Agency has in the past. We believe this could be partly due to changes we made over the last year to make this kind of abuse much harder. But security is not something that's ever done. The company said in a statement released Tuesday. Facebook said in a statement they removed pages that had more than 290,000 followers. The most followed Facebook page was Atslan Warriors, Black Elevation, Mindful Being, and Resistors. Resistors. Pussyhead. The company said the pages ran 150 ads for $11,000. The ads were paid for in U.S. and Canadian dollars. In 2016, IRA had purchased ads targeting Americans using RuPaul's. That's just fucking sloppy.
Americans using what?
Using RuPaul's. They targeted.
Oh, yeah, yes.
How about for bear? We pay you in bear. Russian bear, you put the bat.
Yes. How about vodka? We have lots of vodka.
Next week's event was not the only event the pages created. The pages created about 30 events since May 2017. The largest had approximately 4,700 accounts interested, and 1,400 users said they would attend. Well, if it's like a comedy gig, three will show up.
You're lucky.
Yeah. 1,400.
I'm sorry. And those three weren't even targeted. They just came in.
Yeah, they wandered in.
And they got the free. I saw this in the paper, free admission.
And so one guy's been drinking since last Thursday.
Yeah. So do you guys think you were susceptible to these types of pages?
You know what? No. Before I knew that there were people outside of the country actually setting up these kind of things, I would have assumed that these were grassroots, kind of just, you know, people starting up pages and other people going, yeah, I think they have something behind it. Because I've seen a lot of those things on Facebook, and it didn't occur to me to think it through too much. I was just, I mean, not like joining anything like, yes, I'm joining the militia. Come on, where should we meet? But I mean, like passively joining groups that I thought that I liked the things that people were posting and I agreed with some of their philosophies and things. It never occurred to me that none of it's that incendiary. Never occurred to me that any of it would be Russian operatives trying to sway my opinion so that they about either side, so that they could be diverse, you know, make more diversity. I mean, you know, infighting in the United States.
Joe, I'm surprised that you say no, because you've posted some pretty divisive memes and posts from some of these from various groups and pages. And, you know, we don't know where they're from. You know, they usually have a very right slant. I'm surprised that you say you wouldn't be susceptible to that.
Because I would look, you know, you would look at the facts and double check it. And
yeah,
see,
but you've posted stuff, and I used to call you out on it.
Yeah,
but
you,
I mean, it's
used
very
to, but still,
well,
you know,
I don't have time now. But I'm saying it was very divisive stuff.
Right.
So that's why I'm saying I'm a little surprised that you're saying you don't think you were susceptible to it, because you take a meme that interests you, you know, whatever it is,
yeah,
and if it has a message that you kind of like, you know, you shared it. So I'm. You know, and I'm not saying that the ones you posted were from Russian trolls. I don't know. I'm just surprised you don't think you were susceptible. I would say I'm not susceptible because I never posted any of that shit. You know, I don't really go into those groups, and I don't really post memes or anything. So that, not that I had any more knowledge than anybody else. I just don't think like that. It doesn't interest me to take somebody else's words and put them on my page to rally my troops.
Well, you know, I mean, like, when I joined pro-Palestinian tabby cats, I just thought that was going to be really cute. I didn't think it was going to be something
pro-Palestinian tabby cats.
I didn't know you were anti-Israel tabby cats.
Yeah, these cats throw rocks. Is what they do.
It's a talented fucking cat.
Yeah, they're
Palestinian.
Well, you know, they have to stand on their back legs, get the rock. You know, I mean, it's difficult. I'm just saying. You know, whatever thing.
No, that's,
you know,
not something you make up. Whatever. You're a member of that.
Yeah, sorry.
Wouldn't it be pro-Palestinian Persian cats? I would think it would be. I would think that would make the group or the joke more effective.
There you go. I didn't have a lot of time to work on that.
Neither did I, Pip. I really
was. Well, you had to think about it to add to it. Anyway, but anyway, I'm just saying that it wouldn't occur to me that there was somebody sitting, one of the U.S.'s enemies, and going, what would really get people screaming at each
other?
No,
it wouldn't have occurred to me either.
You know?
But
now
I'm,
it does.
I'm just saying I wasn't susceptible to it because I never engage in that type of behavior.
Right. You don't like posting memes. I occasionally do.
Right.
I'll find something that's really clever and to the point and say, oh, shit, yeah, and I'll post that.
Yeah. All right.
But, you know, also, you know, the Obama administration during the election, because basically how proactive they were during the campaign to check on the Russian
hacking. I've thrown some shade at Obama.
You know,
I've said Obama should have done more. That being said, when they knew what was going on with Russia, he went to Mitch McConnell and wanted to make a joint statement, because you remember that time Trump was saying it was rigged against him and everything.
Yeah.
So he was making it sound like they were going to do something against Obama. So Obama's like realized the political climate of it all, mm-hmm, and wanted to go with McConnell to say something, and McConnell wouldn't say anything. So I think Obama should have done more, and I've been vocal about
yes.
that. That being said, Mitch McConnell should be fucking out on his ass.
Yeah.
Because we could have actually had something more, and he's still in office. Obama's going retired. He's hang gliding, doing whatever fucking ex-presidents do.
Yeah.
So that's fine. So as angry as you are at Obama, you can hate tweet him if you want. You can't do anything about
well,
it.
Well, even as, you know, I'm not thrilled about Mitch McConnell, but there was this, and there was a testimony that the Obama White House's chief cyber official testified that proposals he was developing to counter Russia's attack on the U.S. presidential election back in the summer of 2016 were put on a back burner because he was ordered to stand down on his efforts.
And I think that's partly because of the atmosphere that Trump was creating. Now, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not defending it. But I do remember how volatile and partisan things were in 2016. That's why I'm saying it would have been so much. And listen, even if McConnell stood there with him, you would have still had Trump supporters go, look, this is the Trump still would have used it for his advantage. This is the establishment. They don't want me to win.
Right.
But at least they both would have been on record as something is going on. And there would have been enough people on the right at that point who weren't fully indoctrinated to go, all right, maybe this isn't fucking a left wing conspiracy thing. Maybe something's going on.
Well, that's what, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Mitch McConnell, but you know, it's not going to be like a Reagan Tip O'Neill thing, which they would.
No, but it's a fucking patriotism thing.
I know, but like, you know, that's the way we become as a country,
and that's why I'm saying he should be out on his ass.
You know, yeah.
this is about defending the America.
Yeah,
you put your partisan bullshit aside and listen. A part of it with Obama was politics. There's no doubt about it. And they thought Hillary was going to win. And they probably thought, you know, we'll handle it then.
Yes.
That being said, we
need
to know.
I don't even think they were even going to handle it at all.
No, I think they would have. No, I'm sure.
Probably would have been something they come back to, but yeah, they thought Hillary was going to win, so they didn't want to tamper.
Right. Well, they fucked up.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did.
No, there's no doubt about it. Listen, I don't have a fucking team. I call bullshit on bullshit. All right. So states have urged federal government to provide more funding in order, this is August 1st, in order to beef up cybersecurity and voting systems. On Wednesday, an amendment to allocate $250 million for election security was rejected by the Senate on partisan lines. Senator Patrick Leahy introduced today's amendment for a floor vote after it was rejected by the Senate Appropriations Committee. Ahead of the vote, he wrote, "It is time that we heed the clear warning of the intelligence community and take action. It is our obligation to take these attacks on our state seriously and to step up with the necessary resources to defend our elections." Senator Bob Corker was the only Republican to vote in favor of the spending. Three other Republicans, Richard Byrd, Jeff Flake, and John McCain, did not vote for various reasons. Well, I know John McCain's fighting for his life. I don't know what the other two were doing. Yeah. In March, $380 million was appropriated for states to fix their voting security as part of the omnibus spending bill. Because of that recent funding, Republicans appeared unwilling to approve additional funding today. According to Axios, those in opposition to the amendment complained that states haven't even elected even having collected all those funds, and it's too early to say if more money is needed. Senator Leahy says that 90% of those funds have been distributed, and now is time to heed states' pleas. You know what? I know you hate to say throw money at it. We throw money at so much. We're throwing $12 billion at farmers through a fucking problem that a president created. Let's fucking throw some money at this. Let's throw some. If you know what? If it gives people, even if it just gives people peace of mind that the elections are going to be somewhat more on the up and up, it's worth it.
Listen, we know that hacking is huge business. We know that it's happening. We know that it's influencing our elections. They're saying we need more money because we have to get IT people. We have to have, you know, research done. We have to bolster up our cyber community to defend the United States against outside enemies. If they said a tsunami was, you know, if they said the flood was coming, would you say, no, you can't have any goddamn sandbags? We need the fucking sandbags now. Why no?
This is the type of thing that should not break along partisan lines. No. If you remember after 9/11, the Democrats and Republicans
came together.
You know, they united around President Bush.
Yeah.
You know, he was very popular then. You know, he united the effort. The country came together.
Yes.
We should be coming together for
against
this.
Our common enemies.
Yeah. I don't think history is going to look very well on these Republicans.
I think I think the elections are run with districts and, you know, gerrymandering and the whole thing about IDs and are people coming in there that are illegal, that are voting. I think they're probably on the Republicans, thinking like the Republicans, they want to try to get all this straightened out more money at.
But part of the money goes to auditing the elections to look back and make sure everything was run fairly, to make sure dead people weren't fucking voting. This all goes to that.
It's just strengthening the electoral process in general.
Yeah.
And how much have they spent on it so far?
$380 million?
No, they were asking for $380 million. What was it, $1.25 billion that the 50 states?
I know.
I don't know.
But
we
it's
fucking,
like
we
every,
spend...
every little podunk town.
Listen.
All those voting machines.
You got to do it.
That whole infrastructure. It's going to be incredibly costly.
If a free election is central to our democracy,
which it is,
you got to fucking pony up. If that's what it takes, now you can come back. Now you could have people from the government, or, you know, federal government audit and go, hey, listen, you're wasting money here, there, this, the other. You could use it more efficiently. I'm all for that.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm all for that.
But have they spent money on this already?
Yes.
Yes, but they need more. The states are saying they need more.
And how much did we spend?
I read it before. I think it was 1.25.
Maybe, and like I said, I'm being the devil's advocate again. Maybe they felt for what they laid out, they really didn't get. It really wasn't that efficient, and maybe why throw more money into it?
It's continuing. You don't just stop with this type of technology. You don't just stop and then you're done. You need to continue doing it. There's a continual maintenance on it.
It's I'm not going to accept any more Microsoft updates.
Let's see what happens after. Let's see.
I'm just not.
I'm not saying this from a condescending way. Let's see what happens after the midterms and see if they go back.
Yeah, but
to
here's
this.
The problem. Here's the problem. But if something happens, it's fucking too late again. Mm-hmm. You think it's been a shitstorm since 2016.
Yeah.
If it fucking happens again,
yeah,
that's going to be two elections where, you know, Americans don't vote as it is.
And we sat on our hands and watched it.
Right. Right. We know it happened. We already know it happened.
And we know it's coming again.
Exactly. All right. So August 2nd, 2018. We're almost done with this. But I think it's worth going through.
Yeah.
And I think nobody can break it down like Weekend, a bunch of chuckleheads.
thank you for a compliment and then a downgrade at the same time. Yes.
I know who we are. I'm not going to lie to the people.
And don't you know who he is? You don't expect the compliment and then the kick in the balls?
All right.
I can multitask. A number of top intelligence community officials gathered at Thursday's White House briefing to discuss U.S. efforts going forward to combat election interference attempts. White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders was joined by FBI Director Christopher Wray, who I like a lot, by the way. Every time I see this guy testifying in front of the House and everything, this guy's got his shit together. I like that. Hmm. Director of Homeland Security Kirstjen Nielsen, not as much. Okay. Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats, fucking serious guy. National Security Advisor John.
Didn't smile once during the whole thing.
I like it. I like it.
Lighten up, loosen up your tie.
Nope. I like Dan Coats.
Nope.
National Security Advisor John Bolton, really? Are we just going to get everybody from Fox News? Well, Ducey was busy. And National Security Agency Director General Paul Nakasone, who I hadn't really seen much of. Nielsen said that our democracy is in the crosshairs. I think the president has made it abundantly clear to everybody who has responsibility in this area that he cares deeply about it and that he expects them to do their jobs to their fullest ability and that he supports them fully, Bolton said in a briefing while garling the president's balls.
Does he?
I'm being the devil's advocate. Not you, but... Tasty balls, Mr. President. Is that a new toner you're using? Just see fucking Bolt with a little orange in his little mustache.
It's funny.
I try. Coates, who fielded most of the reporter questions following each official's opening statement, said that while the U.S. is just one keyboard click away from encountering a previously unidentified means of Russian meddling, there appears to be a lesser effort ahead of the 2018 elections than there were in 2016. Well, they got their guy. Relative to what we've seen for the midterm elections, it's not the kind of robust campaign that we assessed in the 2016 election, Coates said. We know that through decades, Russia had tried to use its propaganda and methods to sow discord in America. However, they stepped up their game big time in 2016. We have not seen that kind of robust effort from them so far. Coates said the current efforts do not appear to target one specific party, but mentioned that the U.S. is aware of the actors other than Russia with meddling capabilities and who considered attacking. The Russians are looking for every opportunity, regardless of party, regardless of whether or not it applies to the election, to continue their pervasive efforts to undermine our fundamental values, he said. Wray said the FBI has not yet seen foreign attempts at interfering with election infrastructure for the midterms, but that divisive information is being spread from overseas. So do you think that because our intel is not seeing the same volume of interference that they saw in 2016, that Russia's backed off some, or that Russia's using different techniques that we haven't caught yet?
I think they might have backed off.
You do?
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're still seeing them fucking around.
But not to the extent that they were.
So why would they back off if they know it's successful?
Because we're on to them.
Right.
But that doesn't usually mean...
I just think that they're clever enough to just try new shit that we'll learn about at the end, in like 2019.
That's what... I'm almost expecting that there's something that they're working on that's going to be more like a blitz campaign instead of like this... like subtle infiltrating. I mean, they know that we're onto that, so maybe they're just going to go bam with something.
All right, so why wouldn't they do as much? Because we're looking at them now, you think?
Yeah.
Okay, so it has nothing to do with we got what we wanted, you just think, or defense, you think it's because they know we're onto them?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they might pick and choose their battles. Maybe they'll lay off, maybe next year they'll increase it. You know,
not comforting.
The heat's on. The heat's on.
Great tune, by the way. The heat is on.
Great, I know.
August 2nd, 2018. So the president has a campaign rally, as he's wont to do. He likes a good rally. So he did not mention election interference, instead referring vaguely to the Russian hoax. Why doesn't Trump warn of Russian interference but call it a Russian hoax? Why can't he just say, we know... Why? It makes him have no fucking credibility in a lot of people's eyes.
I think that we're already on to the fact that he lies all the time, so he just keeps it up because you keep repeating a lie, people will believe it.
Well, no, he knows that. He has said that. He's written that in his book.
Yeah. I know he knows
he's
that.
He's the George Costanza of presidents. It's not a lie if you believe it, Jerry.
I know he knows that. That's why he's being true to form.
Maybe the president used to work for Vandalay Industries.
I know he did. He was an architect.
He might have been in the import-export business.
Tells Kelly Conway to answer the phone and not White House Vandalay Industries. White House Oval Office. Vandalay! Vandalay! Vandalay!
Vandalay! I.
You know what, Kelly? No soup for you.
Yeah. I think we're at war with Russia. I think this is fucking war.
Yeah.
I mean, this
cyber war. Yeah.
Yeah.
But war is war. We're at war. I mean, we're not exchanging bombs, but they're fucking with us.
It's a different front.
Right. It's the new front.
Yeah.
You know, the way, you know, nuclear, the way aerial attacks replace infantrymen. It's
right.
War. It's just not the same type of war.
Yeah. It's a, you know,
cyber way, front. The way terrorism replaced country-to-country battle.
Right.
It's fucking war. It's just not a war we're used to.
Different tactics.
This is war.
Yes.
So Bush had warnings about 9/11 and failed to take them seriously.
Yes.
If something major happens with our power grid, or with interference in our elections, how responsible is President Trump?
I think I would consider him very responsible for dropping the ball and ignoring the plain facts.
I would hold him very responsible.
Well, he would have a responsibility to it.
Would you hold him accountable? Would you hold him accountable in the campaign? Would you? I'm not saying you'd vote for the Democrat, but would you not vote for him if something happens on his watch?
It depends on how well the economy's doing, how well
but this is war, dude.
I understand that, but it's also, you know, that's a key reason. It would be one of the boxes I would tick off, but I would find out. I mean, if everything else is running, you know, if it's a major infrastructure thing and they didn't catch it, yeah, it probably, you know, that would have a key thing with our safety.
But Obama had a good economy, and Trump has taken that and run with it, which is fine. But Obama had a good economy at the end. We were growing after we got out of the fucking ditch. Yeah. And everything. And you held him accountable for everything, which is your want to do. You know, mm-hmm. That's fine. I'm just wondering, why not this guy? I mean, this, and he's got a ton of warnings. He's got more warnings than Obama. And I said it. Obama should have done something in 2016. Yes. Trump has got way more warnings than Obama ever had.
Yeah, it's really clear now.
Well, yeah. That would be it would be on him, and that would be his downfall. And if he's not going to watch key things, then I would not vote for him again.
I think we got a real problem that our government is not speaking with one voice. It seems that.
Oh, that's been going on for 10 years.
No, not like this. Not where the agencies are saying one thing and the president is saying the complete opposite. That never happened under Obama.
Well, lately it's been a problem that they've been walking back a lot of stuff.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. This is fairly unique to the Trump administration.
Oh, yeah. I'm not even going to doubt that. Because
you just said the past 10 years.
Well, but basically, when you prefaced it, and I thought about, you know, when you said lately, where a lot of the administrations are contradicting what he's saying. Yeah, it's been a problem.
I think that's a problem.
Yeah.
I think the people who Trump put in power are trying to defend the country, most of them. You know, some of them are fucking full of shit. But I think your Christopher Reyes, your Dan Coats, right-wing guys. But I think they're patriots. I think they're putting country before party.
Before, yeah.
Which I respect.
Yes.
And I feel like our president is putting Trump before country.
Before everything.
Yeah. I got a problem with that.
Yeah, I do too.
And I know you know the economy's important to you, and I would argue the economy's been good, and I could show you things that's not as good as it was, and you'd show me other things that's better than it was, but that's fine. But I think our safety has mm-hmm. to come number one. I mean, that's the chief thing. You got to protect us. That's what we need them for.
Yeah.
And that's why we say, well, you arm the military so they can fucking protect us. That's why we have. That's why we have our own hackers and shit.
That's why civilization began.
Right.
Because as a group, we could be protected better, and that's why you give tribute to the king.
Right. But you have all the, you know, the news articles that are saying, well, this, that, and the other. How much have we caught? How well are we doing? You know,
well, I'm sure there's been things that we have caught.
You know, so that's the other side of the story.
No,
that we
absolutely.
Don't know because it's intelligence, and they're not going to lay that
and
out.
I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm comfortable with like Dan Coats and Christopher Ray, and I was comfortable with Pompeo.
I like Rachel Ray too. She can make snacks.
She explains it. But I'm not.
Sorry.
Everybody likes snacks.
I like that. Shut. No, she does make good shit.
We like Scooby snacks.
Jesus Christ. I like the thing.
But I'm uncomfortable with our president refuting what his intelligence agency is fucking saying. I'm very uncomfortable with that, and I think you should be too.
It is concerning sometimes where you basically the whole, because he's working too hard to going overboard. Trying to refute going overboard, trying to refute any of the hacking or any of the collusion stuff. Where when they're bringing up, you know, security details. He's you know.
Here's
he's naysaying things that are, is like everybody that's their business is saying, no, really.
Here's what I feel. Yeah, Bush dropped the ball big time on 9/11.
You think?
No, I know he did. But from that point on, yeah. Because I didn't know what was going on before then.
Right.
I always felt he was doing what he could to defend us.
After that,
yeah.
After realizing, oh my God, that was real.
Now I know a lot of people on the right did not like Obama and they called him a pussy and leading from behind this, that, the other thing. But I always felt, and he might not agree with the way he did it, but I always felt he was doing what he could to defend us.
I felt safe.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt, or, you know, they were doing what they could. You know, there was always a chance they were doing what they could. I don't feel that with the president, and it's solely on him because he's not, because if he would just go along with the intelligence official, go, listen, we know this is going on. I had Putin in the room. I told him that this has got to stop. You know, we're not going to deal with that with the United States. We're going to sanction the hell out of them. If he would take that tone, even though I hate most things about him, yeah. At least I could go, all right, well, you know what? He's trying to keep us safe. I might not like the way he does this or does that, but he's trying to keep us safe, and that's the most important thing for the president to do.
Yeah.
I don't feel that with this guy, and it bothers me.
Yeah, me too. I feel insecure about this president buddying up to our biggest ally. I'm not saying talking to him in a polite way while they're having diplomatic talks. I'm saying like kissing his ass.
Yeah, it was bad. You never saw the Helsinki. You didn't see the Helsinki press conference.
But I don't.
You have to see that Helsinki press conference. Really,
yeah,
to speak on that. You did see it.
Yeah.
To speak on this topic intelligently, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but you really need to see how bad that press conference was.
Because he's not a politician.
Yes, he is. He's a great politician. Yeah. He's a fantastic fucking politician. Yeah. He's a dynamic politician.
Who are you talking about?
Donald Trump. He most certainly is a dynamic politician. You look at how he spins bullshit. And how he's gotten the Congress and the Senate to go against the things that they used to fucking rail against so he could get what he wants. This man is a brilliant politician. I don't think he's a brilliant man. He's a brilliant politician. It goes back to what Joe said. He's a salesman. I said he's a con man. Different size, same coin, different fucking signs. Guy's very fucking brilliant. He knows he's playing the game in a different way, which people have still not been able to catch up with. Nice. But this guy is a politician. He's not the politician of the pandering to everybody, traditional kiss the babies type of politician.
Right.
But he knows how to play politics. He's just approaching from a different angle. So that's why he cannot. That's why when you know, people on the right go, watch, he'll get reelected again. I never go, no, he won't. No, it could very easily happen. It could very easily happen because he's a good politician, and the Democrats run a shit show.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, and that's how he won last time.
They overthink themselves into not doing anything.
They're just the two milquetoast. They're like the gin blossoms of politics. All right, we're running late, but we haven't been here last week, so let's move to Alex Jones, your friend and mine. YouTube, Facebook, and Apple and Spotify have taken steps to remove content associated with InfoWars founder Alex Jones. Each social media platform Monday said it had removed content from Jones or InfoWars because it had violated their policies. The company's move shuts down key distribution channels that had given the controversial media figure easy access to millions of internet users. The most dramatic action came last from YouTube, which is owned by Google. It removed many top channels associated with InfoWars, including the Alex Jones channel, which had 2.4 million subscribers, and videos that were viewed by over 1.5 billion times. When users violate policies repeatedly, like our policies against hate speech and harassment, or our terms prohibiting circumvention of our enforcement measures, we terminate their accounts, said a spokesperson for YouTube. Some channels for some InfoWars top personalities were still on the platform. InfoWars is notorious for spreading false information and conspiracy theories on a host of issues. It suggested that Sandy Hook massacre was a hoax, that September 11th terrorist attacks were an inside job orchestrated by the U.S. government. Jones encouraged users to access live streams directly from the InfoWars website. He described it as the one platform that they can't ban. Facebook said in regards to they're removing videos and posts from their platform. Upon review, we have taken it down for glorifying violence and using dehumanizing language to describe people who are transgender, Muslims, and immigrants, which violates our hate speech policies. Twitter spokesperson told CNN that neither InfoWars InfoWars nor any of its associated accounts are currently in violation of Twitter rules. Apple does not tolerate hate speech, and we have clear guidelines that the creators and developers must follow to ensure we provide a safe environment for all of our users. It said in a statement to a BuzzFeed podcast that violate these guidelines are removed from our directory, making them no longer searchable or available for download or streaming. We believe in representing a wide range of views, so as long as people are respectful to those with different opinions. Are these companies right in removing InfoWars?
No, they're wrong. It's a show. It's entertainment. It's freedom of speech, and it's one of those things where it's not going to end. It's going to get farther reaching than that.
Well, here's the thing. First of all, he's used his platform to harass people. Mm-hmm. The parents of the Sandy Hook kids have had to fucking move, and now he's getting sued for it. And you have freedom of speech. This is not the government. Different issue. Right. Not the government. This is private companies making their decision. Much like they might decide to take off your favorite left-wing or right-wing TV show because they don't like it. We are on Facebook. They are the terms of service. If I have a post that they don't like, I can argue it. But ultimately, it is their decision. I can choose to use Facebook or not use Facebook. It's a private company.
Right.
I have no problem with them doing it. It's their rules. And, if you're going to be on their platform, you got to play by their rules.
Well, then in the same term of that, they should have Louis Farrakhan's page removed. They should have an Antifa page moved. They should have the Kill Trump page removed.
The new
Black Panther Party should be removed.
Well, you would have to show me what they did. But Kill Trump, I think, would certainly be grounds for removal.
The new Black Panther Party has encouraged violence against white Jews and law enforcement. You also have,
but have they done it on the? Have they done it on these pages? That's the thing. What they do off the platform is not.
They've
relevant.
Done it on those pages.
All right. Then, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
They need to because basically it's just
to report those pages.
Yeah. It just seems that these platforms are just slanted where if they don't like Alex Jones and it's the flavor of the day, they'll take on him and remove him.
But they can. It's their company.
But the thing about it is that they need to remove these other pages.
So you should report
those other
pages. And
it's going to be our freedom of speech. It's just the downfall of our freedom of speech.
Not our freedom of speech. You can still listen to Alex Jones. Listen, there are certain servers, like I posted stuff. Some of the Julie Love stuff where she was naked. There are certain servers, certain companies, where you can't have that stuff. You can't have it hosted on there. So now we're on a server where I can have anything on there. But while I'm on a specific server, I have to play by their rules. It's not freedom of speech. I can get my own server and do my own thing. Mm-hmm. But if I'm going to use somebody else's server, I have to play by that rules. Right. It's like the same thing. If you had a podcast on davinsden.com and Pip had a podcast on davinsden.com and yours is talking about gardening and Pip is talking about, kill black people. Nothing personal, Pip. I don't want that on my platform.
Yeah.
I'm making
Damn
the
it.
Rules.
Yeah,
Come
Pip.
On.
Cut it out.
Well, be
Come
obvious
on.
To target you.
Come on, I want to talk.
Especially you were going to have that special on the proper noose to use, but
Oh, you're writing with her now?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that all along. Come on.
But you're on my platform at my leisure.
Right.
I am giving you guidelines. I am the judge and the jury.
Yeah.
It's not freedom of speech. It's just the way
it is.
Yeah,
if you think about it, each one of those servers that they control is their own country. It's not the United States. It's Facelandia.
Yeah, exactly.
But it just seems that they're slanting it towards the right or anybody that happens to be on the right, where on the left or far.
Well, they just took down Facebook. Just took down a bunch of left wing posts and pages. I mean, they were run by Russians, but they just took down a bunch of things that liberals were flocking to.
Yeah, they're just starting. I mean, not to say that those things won't come down.
Yeah, they should come down. You should report them.
Whether they're going to do it or not, it just seems very one-sided.
Nah, I think it's the victimization thing that you're playing, and I don't like
that. Not really, it's not.
Listen, Alex Jones is not a victim. Why can't he get his message across without fucking spreading hate? Why can't he do all of his conspiracy things without...
Because he runs a sensationalist show. That's what...
You can be sensationalist without targeting families of dead kids. I mean, is that where we are for entertainment?
But it's just looking at the religious nut that's screaming shit in front of Penn Station.
No, but
you
might not buy into it. You might not buy into it. But most people who watch that shit do.
But every form of entertainment or the news or what you see on TV, people buy into. If it's a small portion of that, it's not worth being so vigilant on this.
But they're not inciting violence.
Neither is Alex Jones. He's not inciting violence.
No, yes, he is. That's why these families.
What did he incite? How did he incite violence?
He gave away the address of the parents of these kids that were killed at
Sandy Hook.
At Sandy Hook, And then what happened is they're
his nut job, his legion of nut jobs started bullying and harassing.
So
those people,
this family's had to move multiple times, and now this is in court. So yeah, he's not fucking mild mannered and fucking meek.
Well, then you assume you hit him in the pocket.
I understand that, but what these companies are saying is, hey, we don't want your shit on our platform. We don't want to be associated with you. And you got that right. They have that right. When you want, and listen, you can create a right-wing iTunes. Go for it. Fucking create something to go against Apple that only has right-wing wingnut shit and ban liberal shit. That's your thing.
Yeah.
If you create that platform and you don't want my show on there because you think it's too left-wing, okay. That's the rules. Not everybody gets to be on iTunes or YouTube or Facebook. That's the rules.
Because your server will be Curryland and your rules would go.
Yeah, and that's what it is. I might not like it. I might protest and go, it's not fair. But ultimately, it's Curryland, a private company, and he gets to set the agenda. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
I think I'm telling you, it's going to be the beginning of the end for free speech.
It's not when the government starts cracking down on it. I'm more worried about the press is the enemy of the people than I am about Alex Jones. I'm much more worried when the president gets up there and says that shit. That scares me about free speech.
Yeah.
I think in a way this does strengthen Jones. Like, he's not going to reach as many people, but I think he's going to reach a certain even more.
The martyrdom will be very.
I think even
valuable.
More wingnuts will be drawn to him because like this is unsafe listening. We got to see what this is about.
Very valuable stuff. It's like see they're going after him because he's telling the truth. He's telling the stuff that they don't want to understand. So yes, there will be a certain amount of the population that will flock to that, and that will
and it plays into his narrative.
That
it does help him. Now, I haven't been able to figure out if this helps these platforms or not. They're losing a lot of people.
I mean, it had to hurt them in the pocket.
It hurts them. It hurts
they
them
have
now.
Many less clicks.
It hurts
you know?
Them now. I don't know how it does. I don't know if it means more moderate places are going to go to. Because I think everybody's going to be on there anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't think this helps them, but I think they were they were using their moral compass, whatever that fucking is for them.
Yeah, there will be other cute mouse videos or something for people to click on. There will always be content.
But like I said, basically one day, maybe on a stage or doing radio or something like that, you'll be pulled to the side and you might lose a gig or you
it's
might lose
happened.
A job. But,
I've already had managers.
Freedom of speech because of the way things are going. And also, you can't. Also, the second part of that is that these platforms can't just pick and choose. If it's going to be one, it's going to be
but
all.
No, that's where you're wrong. They absolutely can pick and choose. Now, we might not like it. Like you said those like kill Trump, and I said fucking take it down. I don't think it should be on there.
No.
But if they choose not to, they absolutely can pick and choose because it's their platform, it's their technology, and we're signing. We're on there at our. We're not paying for it.
If they
owe us nothing.
I think he's saying that they're not fairly implementing their terms of service.
Time will tell.
Yeah,
we'll see about that. I'm not going to make an argument one way or the other. Right. But we're not paying for it.
Yeah.
So we're on there at Facebook is busting my balls on shit, and it doesn't make me happy, and I rail against it, but I'm back on Facebook because it's their platform.
Well, I mean, I'm more worried about having a president that actually said, I'm going to sue all of the newspapers that said things that I don't like.
Yeah, he hasn't sued anybody yet.
Yeah, I know he hasn't.
Well, that was what he said was ridiculous.
But people buy into it.
I know, but people buy it, and they go,
listen, listen, you are hearing more and more people, members of the press, getting fucking threatening phone calls.
Fake news.
They're saying that they're going to kill him.
Yeah, I know.
And it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And we're going to have that show is how responsible is the president? That show is coming up. Yeah. If this does not end, I guarantee you that show is coming up where a member of the media was killed by some right-wing fucking lunatic. And, we're going to have the conversation. How responsible is the president?
But,
it's coming.
But on the average, how many right-wing lunatics are compared to left-wing lunatics?
I'm just talking about right-wing in this case because we're talking about the president.
But
there's lunatics on both sides.
Because I don't see right-wing people shouting down a congressman while they're trying to eat or refusing service to their family or, attacking people.
Have you seen a Trump rally? Have you fucking seen what's going on?
But they're
there?
Not going out in the streets and doing it.
Listen, you could shout people down.
Wait a minute.
You can shout people.
There's protests.
Yeah, happens all the time. Happens all the time.
It seems it's a lot more on the left than it is on the right.
Because the left is angry right now. When Obama was president, we saw the fucking Tea Party doing all their outrageous shit. That's what happens. Whenever the other party, all the wingnuts fucking come out. And
so are you afraid that somebody on the left might kill somebody on the right?
I think somebody on the left could kill President Trump. I think that's very possible. Although I think Melania will get to him first.
She's definitely got dibs.
Yeah, I mean, I would not be surprised if one day the president doesn't wake up and it's just silent mid-tweet because she smothered the son of a bitch. That would not shock me.
Let me tell you something. If Trump gets voted out or whatever, it's going to see Trump loses and you're going to see divorce papers right next to the morning paper.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's how, look, I like Trump, but not for nothing. You know, that fucking divorce paper is going to be right next to the morning paper, Trump.
Yeah, absolutely.
Donald will be calling you. Joe, how'd you get her to sign the divorce paper?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been with you. I was your best friend. This is the reason you're not president. Like, Joe Curry never made it in entertainment.
Yes, that's coming.
You know, where did she get that from?
I don't know.
That's what I don't live with.
I don't know. Well,
like you said, you have a laundry list, and I agree with most of why, and, you know, get further in my career.
This is why she's
being married to her wasn't one of them.
No, that was not a reason.
No, if anything, it's made you better. Anger fuels you.
Yes.
In about 20 minutes
to
the act.
So, I do think a left-wing nut will try to take out the president.
Yeah, but I don't think
that will succeed.
A left-wing nut would be going after the free press.
No, a left-wing nut went after those congressmen that were playing baseball a year ago, Steve Scalise and whatnot. And the right-wing nuts, they're going to go after a journalist. That shit's coming.
I believe so too, and I'm afraid of that.
And
that shit's coming. That eventually something's going to happen when these left-wing nuts are harassing people.
Right, but it's just worse when the guy with the biggest microphone in the land is fucking inciting it. I don't want anybody to incite it, but it's the worst when the guy with the biggest fucking microphone is doing it.
Yeah.
You would like him to go, hey, let's go. Listen, I don't like the coverage I'm getting. They're not the enemy of the people. It is what it is. You folks know the truth. And, you know...
But, I mean, you have the president at rallies saying, go beat that guy up.
I don't want to get into all that shit right now, but yeah. Yeah, so yeah, I don't like... See, I'm very consistent, Joe. I don't like nuts on any fucking side. Except in my pants. I like those two nuts. Those are the only nuts I like.
And at this table.
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe. Anyway. All right, so a radio station in New Jersey has suspended two midday shows after they referred to the state's Sikh Attorney General Gurbil Grewal as Turban Man on the show Wednesday.
Oh,
in a clip of the show on 101.5 obtained by NewJersey.com, show host Dennis Malloy could not remember Grewal's name during a segment about a recent action the Attorney General took in temporarily suspending prosecution of marijuana cases. The Attorney General, you know, I'm never going to know his name, Malloy says. I'm just going to say the guy with the turban. Turban Man, co-host Judy Franco sings.
Yes.
then Malloy goes, listen, if that offends you, then don't wear the turban, man, and I'll remember your name. Is that highly offensive, Malloy asks after a pause? To me, no, says Franco. To people who wear turbans, could be. Grewal went on Twitter and posted a response Thursday morning. My name, for the record, is Gurbil Grewal. See, I can fucking say it. I'm the 61st Attorney General of New Jersey. I'm a Sikh American. I have three daughters. And yesterday I told them to turn off the radio. And the kids looked at me and said, Dad, what's a radio? Grewal is the first.
Yeah, they don't listen.
Grewal is the first Sikh state attorney general in the United States. And then we are aware of the offensive comments made by Dennis and Judy during the broadcast, the station said in a blog, announcing that the two had been taken off the air. The station later said the two were suspended for 10 days and would not return until August 6th, so they're back now. Malloy and Franco issued an apology posted on the station website. We offer our sincerest apologies to Attorney General Gurbil Grewal, as well as the Sikh and Asian communities for a series of insensitive comments we made on our show. For 21 years, the Dennis and Judy show has been unscripted and freeform. We use humor and sarcasm to make a point and add color to the broadcast. In this instance, we were off the mark. It was a mistake we both deeply regret. We respect all cultures and beliefs and are deeply sorry for the pain caused to the Sikh community, our coworkers, and our beloved listeners, the two said in their apology. CNN asked Malloy and officials at the station what point he was trying to make when he said, listen, if that offends you, then don't wear the turban, man, and I'll remember your name. There was no reply. New Jersey 101 President Ron DeCastro said station officials take the comments seriously and echo the host's apology. Dennis and Judy are known for their plain-spoken brand of humor. But in this case, the language used was clearly demeaning and inappropriate. New Jersey is a state that is rich in diversity, and our radio station has served as the people's voice for nearly 30 years. Megan Daly, a spokeswoman for the United Sikhs, told CNN, this is appalling comments that points to a lack of education and cultural sensitivity. She said her organization plans to reach out to the radio station to offer a visit to a Sikh Guru Dwara. Or place of worship.
Yeah.
Simjay Singh, like that name, a senior policy manager with Sikh Coalition, said in a written statement that his organization had called for the duo to be suspended to issue strong public apologies in all of its communication platforms. Sikhs maintain our articles of faith, including unshorn hair and turbans, to represent equality and justice, he wrote. However, these visible markers of religious identity also make us a target for bigotry by harassment, bullying of our children, and hate crimes. Hate speech has no place in New Jersey, and it does not belong on our airwaves. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy said in a statement calling the comment abhorrent and xenophobic. State management must now hold the host accountable for these intolerant and racist comments. I thought the 10-day punishment was good. I thought that was a good reaction.
I thought that was appropriate.
It was a total overreaction to it. They just riffed on it. They didn't mean it was not hate speech. As a matter of fact, Gerber Greenwald even said himself that it was an overreaction. Okay,
no, but I don't think 10 days. Like, if these guys got fired, like we've seen a lot, I think that would be too much. I think 10 days is right, because he's basically saying like don't wear a turban, man. It's like.
Yeah.
And I can pronounce his fucking name, and I'm not New Jersey's radio station. How fucking hard is it?
If you exchange turban with the word yarmulke.
Yeah, you couldn't do that to Jews.
Do you think that would be a problem?
Say exchange yarmulke for habit with a nun. No, you're laughing, but...
Exchange yarmulke with clerical collar.
Right, you can't do that.
It's religious.
It's gonna snowball, and you won't be able to say anything to anybody anymore. You guys got to realize this, okay? They did not mean it in a derogatory way.
No, it clearly was in a derogatory way. It was clearly derogatory. It was clearly.
Yeah, it was.
Listen. When a joke doesn't hit, it's gonna come out badly. That's why your joke's got to fucking hit.
When they started. When they said, I can't remember, it's the guy that wears the turban. And then she was like, turban man.
Yeah, turban man. Yeah.
That was a little rude. But
no, it's not. No, it's not.
But when he said, don't want to hear about it, don't wear the turban.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right. That's when he fucking crossed the line. That's when it stopped being comedy.
It became
hate speech.
Hate speech.
If you want. If they would have just fucking stopped where it was.
Yeah.
They would. You know what? Then I'd be like, you know what? It's a little much. Relax.
Yeah. But when they said if you don't like it, don't wear your articles of faith.
I think the way people are getting fired these days, that was actually, if you look at the way people get fired for shit, this was actually a pretty appropriate response where they didn't overreact. Now, were people playing how hurt they were? Are some of the Sikhs saying how, yes, they are. They're playing it up.
Yeah, they're playing it up because this was their opportunity to say that this is who we are.
And listen, my experience with Sikhs has been positive. I was doing a show.
They're mellow dudes.
In the D.C. area. And there was a man wearing a turban. I could tell he was a Sikh because I know the difference.
Yeah.
At least then I did.
Yeah.
So I was doing something. I go, listen, man. I go, this guy's a Sikh. He's okay. I said something. I go, you know. And I talked to the gentleman. I go, you know, these people are freaking out. They hear tick, tick, tick. They're going to kick your ass. You know, I was like completely.
Yeah. And he's laughing because he knew.
All it would take one person that's sensitive to get you fired from that
gig. But that's happened to me. I know the act that I do is not the easiest path. I'm not talking about the difference between men and women's closets and shoes. I'm not doing that shit. I've been banned from clubs and kicked off stage for shit I've said. I know it.
But you of anybody should be saying that this was a total overreaction. Because eventually it's going to hinder what you're going to do.
But I'm aware of the climate I live in.
But it's going to get to the point where you won't. But I'm telling you right now.
But that's where society's going.
That you can't even speak your mind and try to make humor.
He wasn't making a point, though. He wasn't speaking his mind. There was no point.
But you got.
Don't wear a turban was his point. Yeah. If that's the point, you got a shitty fucking point.
If you don't want to get picked on, don't wear a
turban. Here's the key to comedy, and you know this. The more controversial the material, the better the punchline better be. We both know this. So he wants to go down that path, go down that path. But that fucking punchline better be so on point and so fucking funny that you can walk away. He came up lacking comedically, and this is what happens.
I'm telling you right now, but basically this is we're getting to a point where you can't say anything. And it's gonna, and it will affect you, and it's gonna affect you deeply.
It already has, but I don't whine about it. I bitch about it on the show, and that's it. I know what I'm doing. I've had people complain to me.
There's gonna be, but you're gonna be treated unfairly on something that
I already have been. I have been for years. I talk about awful shit that pisses people off. I know what I'm fucking doing. I had a woman come up to me after a show, I think in the same club, because I do a joke about diabetes. And a woman came up to me. She goes, "You know, I like the whole show, but I didn't like that diabetes joke because I." my husband or somebody suffers from diabetes. You know what I said? I go, me too. Let's share a fucking insulin. I didn't say fuck. I go, let's share a needle. I diffused it with humor. I took it and I handled it. And I don't have diabetes.
Right. But then it takes them to call the club on a Monday when you're not around at the meet and greet.
I've been banned from clubs because I dropped the N-word for a fucking joke, bitched up by a middle-aged white person. I know what the fuck I'm doing. I know what I'm doing, and I know if I walk down this path, I'm going to have to pay a price. So you can, and I'm not going to, I'm going to whine about it the fucking time, and then I'm going to decide, am I going to issue an apology, or am I stick to my guns?
And
but I don't need people sticking up for me.
I guarantee there's going to be a time for it, some dumb bullshit thing, and you're gonna say to yourself, this has got to stop.
You know, it's the same.
I'm telling you that right now,
when we did the show that was nationally syndicated, that show portion of the show had a much different tone than the rest of the show because we knew our audience.
Yeah.
We knew what we were doing to. You want to be outrageous, Dennis and Judy, and you're not that fucking outrageous. I've heard them a bunch of times.
I know, but
they're not that outrageous.
But there was one night, and I think it was last month, and I don't remember what specifically that you said, but you said something a little bit off the. And you didn't. You were in a riff, and you didn't catch. And I don't care if we're here, we're on TBQ, wherever. You said
TBQ. Fat chance on that.
Oh my God.
Or TRL.
TRL. We were never on Total Request Live. We were never with Carson Daly. Stupid.
I'm gonna step up.
Were we? Did I dream that?
Yes, it was a dream. Pinch yourself.
A little thing that you riffed on. It could be here. It could be another student that you said something where it could have been a big problem. You never would have caught it. Never would have quit.
But you know what? If somebody said something to me, I would have if I was going, oh, that didn't come out right.
But if you had
I'll
management.
Give you an example. It just happened today in sports. I'll give you an example, then we'll go on with this, and we'll take a break. Happened today in sports. Clint, you guys know Michael Kay, the announcer for the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
He also has an ESPN radio show.
Right.
So he was talking about the Yankees' depth and that they don't have depth. And he said, shame on Jacoby Ellsbury for not being healthy. Shame on Clint Frazier for not being healthy.
Okay.
You know, he's talking about the Yankees. That's how he said it. Clint Frazier tweets, hey, man, I'm dealing with this. Well, how dare you call me out when I'm dealing with an injury? You know what Michael Kay did? Michael Kay reached out to him, and then he went on the air today and go, you know what? I said it clumsily. I didn't mean it that way. I apologize if you meant it. He said the first time I questioned somebody's injury will be the next time I question somebody's injury will be the first time. I didn't mean it that way. I look forward to talking to you about it in person. I said it in a clumsy way. He didn't have to do that.
Right.
He didn't need the company to come down on him. He fucking took the initiative and go, oh, that came out badly. That's not what I meant to do. Let me nip this in the bud.
He got the opportunity, but he doesn't. It could be a situation where management could have said not good enough. That's what the problem is nowadays.
But that's the boss. It's always the boss. You know that. Wait, this show, I'm the boss, so we get to say whatever horrible shit we want to do.
Until
Apple listens, and then we're not on their platform anymore. But you got to know who the boss is. You know the boss at the day program. You know your boss at the day program.
Oh, yeah.
Dennis and Judy got to know their fucking boss. Listen, 101.5, their show is not that fucking edgy. I've listened to the show. It leans right wing, but it's not edgy. And here's the thing. Judy is making fun of the turban. She's an Orthodox Jew. You know what she wears? A fucking wig. A shadel. Now, how would she like it if somebody started making fun of the Jews and start calling her wig girl? Maybe because she's in the business she would like it, but I guarantee you there'd be a fucking Jew that would be pissed off about it. So she should know better than anybody else.
You don't want to hear it, don't wear your shadel. It's part of my religious act.
Exactly. She should know better than anybody else. She should have been. She should not. She was trying to be funny. I get that. Which is why I'm saying they shouldn't be fired. If they said they got fired, I would say no. That's a little much.
Yeah, no. No.
Listen, the governor of New Jersey called this hate speech. That's a little much. It's a bad joke.
That's my point. It's not a hate speech.
Fine. Like I said, that's why I think this was appropriate.
I'm telling you right now, the way things are going, it just snowballs and people get out of hand, and there's going to be a day where you get done talking
to
a man on the phone.
It's already happened to me. It's already happened.
All right. But it's going to get worse.
Yes, it is. But that's okay. Well, you know.
So what are you going to do? Airline food jokes? What are you going to do then?
Those guys were. Yeah, I'll do cruise ships.
Yeah,
I'll be fine.
Been thinking the same shit too. But we both were at Spoke. Yeah, I know. But
am I going to be successful and make money instead of being a renegade? Yes, I will. Or I'll fucking stop doing comedy.
You might stop doing comedy because it's going to get to the point. Okay.
That's fine. Listen, nobody owes me the fucking platform. I am on these stages at the club owner's leisure. That is the rule. When I perform in my own venues, when I own my own club, I can do whatever the fuck I want. And there are comics that own clubs. But I've already been called on the carpet. And I can just get away. I've always gotten away with horrible, horrible shit. I'm probably getting away with more horrible shit now than I ever did. But I've been called on the carpet for bullshit. And I've been called on. That's just what it is. Because they cared about the customers. This is what it always is. 101.5 cared about their fucking advertisers. That's all this is. All
right. Because if you go on stage and you got to do an hour, and you don't know what the hell to talk about, who's going to get upset or who's not going to be, maybe you should
hang it up. I do that now. I just did a fucking thing for seniors. I do churches. I know how to do this shit because I'm a fucking professional. Just like when I would go on terrestrial radio, I did this show.
Even if you're a professional, it's going to be one thing, and it's going to be management, and it's going to screw you up, and you're going, okay.
All right. And you know what? Oh, your pal Anthony had to deal with that shit all the time, and you fucking walk the tightrope.
And he even said, he goes, because there's, you know, the FCC gives you these hard and fast rules, but now, and it's when he got suspended, I forgot what the
instance
was.
Series XM, that was the problem, because there wasn't hard and fast rules.
And Anthony told me, he goes, I go on the air now, I don't know what I can say or what I can't say, and that's a problem.
I understand that, but what this case is, whenever you start, when you go, don't, if you don't want me to call you Turbo Man, don't wear a turban, that's where you're over the line. They could have just gone with their off-color joke that probably wasn't that funny to begin with. Turbo Man, I get it, Judy, you're chiming in. Okay, you're too stupid and lazy to fucking look at how to find out how to pronounce the district attorney's name. Listen, nobody struggles with names more than I do, but I try to get through it. I don't fuck with people's names because I don't need to do that to get my hot because I have fucking talent, Joe. I know how to make comedy. I don't have to pick on the easiest fucking fruit. I don't pick. I got a show coming up in a church, and there's going to be members from the priesthood there. There's going to be clergymen there. There's going to be nuns there. I don't have to.
Who do we get? A Jew.
They love that shit. They do. But you know what? I know. What am I going to do? Call the guy Collar Man?
Oh, wow.
I mean, I probably could. But they gave me rules. Don't make fun of the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. Those are the fucking rules. So what am I going? Well, no, I'm an artist. My free speech. I got jokes about kid touching in the Catholic Church. No, you know what I'm going to do? The gig. I'm not going to make fun of the Catholic Church that night. I'll make fun of it at another fucking night. Because those are the rules. It's not about me as an artist. Somebody's fucking paying me. If I want to do an artist, go to the coffee house, do a fucking open mic, pay my $5 for a frap, and I'm a fucking artist. If I want to be a professional, we've talked about this before, do the fucking job. And when the boss comes down to you could kick and moan and piss and moan that, you know, maybe it's unfair, but at the end of the day, you're there for their leisure. That's the reality of this shit. It really is.
Okay. All right. Like I said, might not be tomorrow, might not be next week.
You act like it hasn't happened to me before.
I'm telling you, it's going to happen. It's going to get to a point.
Don't you remember Just Serve the Nachos, cunt? Don't you remember that story? You don't remember that story?
I don't remember this story.
You don't remember that story?
Tell the story.
I'll tell the story.
All right. I like story time.
So I'm working to Catch a Rising Star years ago. Yeah. This is when the other owner owned it. Kevin Kearney owned it, or was one of the owners of it. And there was a waitress there, Wendy. So I had the joke, gangster rap, where my niggas at, where my niggas at, blah, 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 whatever. So Wendy complains. Wendy's white. Wendy complains to Kevin, I guess, or the manager who came up to Kevin, that black people might be offended if I say that.
That's vague.
So so Kevin calls me up, and he's like, you know, listen, this is how we... And there's a whole thing on Catch a Rising Star at the time, like of all the things you might hear, you might be offended, adult content, blah, blah. When you walked in, there's a whole fucking thing. There's a whole thing going, you're going to hear some awful shit.
Yeah.
and it wasn't even just when I was working.
Ask the koi fish.
Exactly. It was there every week. It had nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
And he tells me, I go, how about she? I go, why doesn't she just? Why doesn't this cunt just serve the nachos? And he fucking started laughing.
Oh God!
Because she was a fucking troublemaker.
Yeah, that was troublemaker.
And another comic actually had to come down there, a comic who I feuded with. I don't remember his fucking name, but a couple of months ago, I told you he couldn't follow me, and he got in trouble, and he went down there and fucking apologized because she was a troublemaker. So yeah, I've been called on the carpet for bullshit, but it's the fucking business. Kazi's a white woman complained when I did the N-word joke. It's always a fucking white woman. White people suck. But this time, it was the fucking Sikhs. It was the guy. So he wasn't getting offended for somebody else. It was the guy. You offended the guy. So it's even worse than when white people want to get offended for black people. Go, really? Really? You with your fucking stupid...
And even the guy said, I don't even know what the fuss is about.
Right, but the fact that he had to tell his daughters to turn off the radio means it was offended. You listen... all they had to do was they apologized. They're back on the air. That's fine. I actually thought it was handled well. Now you could say, well, should have been 10 days, should have been 7 days. You could
you nitpick that to death.
Listen, I'm glad they didn't lose their job.
I think
losing the job would have been an overreaction. I think 101.5 made a statement to their advertisers, to the community, while still standing by Dennis and Judy. Go, listen, we believe in you. You've been with us for years. Here's a fuck up. Apologize. Let's move past it. I think it was actually handled probably one of the best ways we've seen any of this.
It was a really good teaching moment. It's like, you know what? This is a whole community. This is a part of their articles of faith, wearing these. It's not a style thing. You know, if you make fun of somebody's, you know.
Pull up your baggy pants or I won't call you baggy pants man. Okay. All right. I get it.
You know, if somebody's wearing like a baseball cap and you're making fun of their baseball cap, it's not part of their religion.
Right. Well, unless they're Jewish, then they're wearing it and they still have hopes that they could be the next Sandy Koufax.
That's part of their religion.
It most certainly is. We don't have many, so we cling to what we've had. But all right, so we'll Joe, we're running late, but that's what happens when we don't do a show in a while, and I have to get an hour before you show up. All right, on the break, DJ Combo featuring Mr. Shami and Maureen Sky Jones with "Beautiful Day." One song. We'll be back. You can learn more about them at KHB.